You are listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a sometimes bi-weekly podcast dedicated to pop culture and filtering it through the eyes and ears of the internet. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez, and who are you?
I am your other host, Alex Mitchell.
You had a hard time remembering that.
It's been a while since I've ever had to say. I think it's been at least a day since I had to say my last name. So,
you know. All right. So still nicknameless.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep rolling with that for now, and then we'll see what I can.
Get. That's gonna end up becoming your nickname, the nicknameless.
The nickname. You know what? I like that actually.
And today on this special episode, we are joined by
Travis again. Not in the field, though. I'm here, guys. Not in the field. And I would like my nickname to be the Spoose Goose.
The Spoose Goose is loose.
Oh no. Okay, so, Travis is from Plane Zero, as you all know. Quick plug there.
Which you guys are also on.
Yeah, we are.
So, we have we have a Patreon. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/TheObscureGentleman if you want to help support the show and the webcomic.
And it would make you the Patreon saint of gentlemen.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. We have some goodies and stuff. Also, as for the podcast, please hit that subscribe button. If you're listening to us on the site, go to iTunes, do that up. Maybe leave us some comments. Hit the stars, the hearts, clovers, and balloons.
I feel like they should turn the heart into a question mark, because no one knows what it is.
It's just there. It's like the stars are there, and then there's a heart. So, I guess we'll let Antonio Banderas introduce us to this special episode. So,
back together again, eh? Let's play.
Gang bang! It was a firefight!
But I don't want to be a pirate!
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
How can you snap?
This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you!
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy!
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat...
Oh, look! Rocks!
Game over! You lose! Good day, sir!
No! No!
Today is a special episode. Today is our long-awaited Doctor Who two-part finale special.
Let me just say right off the bat that I did not watch last week's
any
episode.
Of them. You just...
No.
you told me this, actually.
Yeah, I didn't watch last week's. Last week, I watched it the same day as
You watched them consecutively.
Yeah. I don't know if that was a good idea, because I felt like I was sitting there for like 4 hours.
Well,
it was... No.
As good as that first episode is, and it is good, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it also feels... long.
Oh, no, it does.
It does. Definitely... part of me is pretty much... I have a feeling it's intentional.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's meant... The pacing is meant to make it feel that long.
You feel like you're trapped there, but we'll get to that eventually. So, it's come to an end. So, Heaven Sent and Hell Bent, quite a ride.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I just like to say right now, I know we're going to get to this probably at one point, because I figure you're going to ask it, but... it's official. This has been the best series of the new Who.
Okay.
Yeah, I can say that without any...
I think it's because it's not... I don't need to watch, like 26 episodes. I don't need to, like, have to, like, you know, jump around. Because, you know, on Netflix... Yeah, like, I don't need to, like... Because I remember on Netflix, they didn't have all the specials for David Tennant. Yeah. It's like, oh, I gotta watch this. And it's like, this was nice. It was simple.
Well, and there was also a consistency to the episodes.
I think the only one that still does not hold the No Sleep or whatever.
Sleep No More.
Sleep No More.
Again, I think that's out of all of them that even critically that a lot of people are kind of like iffy about. Okay, so we start off with Heaven Sent, which is directly picks up where Face the Raven started, and the Doctor is in this tube, and then he gets out and gasps for air, and... the episode is essentially...
It's a bottle episode.
It's a bottle episode. It's not a mystery. It's like a chase slash...
There is a bit of mystery to it.
There is. It's very unique.
Yeah.
I can't think of another show that's done.
Oddly enough, though, I kind of figured it out kind of quickly, though.
This episode's full of spoilers, obviously, if you're listening to this.
Yeah.
But, the main thing of the episode is
you see it at the start, too.
Well, here's the thing. The main thing of the episode is that he has to keep going in this loop of.
Well, that's one of the big reveals too towards the end, which is that he's already that he's this isn't the first time he's done the events that we're actually seen portrayed on screen. It's a few times, and he's essentially cloning himself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And essentially the main thing is there's this wall made of like this thing stronger than diamond, and he has to destroy it with his fists. But it takes, and the whole thing is it takes billions of years
for it's him to 4.5 billion years approximately, as we learn. I mean, they tell us that pretty much in the episode, because there's a part where he says, based on the movement of the stars, how many years have passed. But I don't think it ever, they actually flat out said the 4.5 until part two. Yeah. But we do get into the billions for sure in
Hellbent. And when you're saying that you figure, like, the time I like sort of was like, okay, I think I know what's going on here, was when you see his jacket, and I'm like, okay, I think he must have been here before. Yeah. And okay, I can kind of get that. But, you have this episode where it's just only Peter Capaldi, only the 12th Doctor, and it's him acting
and to the camera. There's this horrible monster chasing him.
It's like supposed to be a dead lady, like a dead time lady, and it scares the shit out of him, and he has to be honest. He has to say some truth.
It's, yeah, basically he's supposed to confess truths.
Yeah, and he's stuck in this castle that... every time he says a truth, the castle sort of spins around. There's this mystery skull, and it's his skull. I mean, let's
just that say. Whole and that whole sea, by the way, with all the skulls, those skulls. Are all his skulls.
So he's looking at a sea of skulls that are his, and they fall down every time he's up on like the watchtower area. But yeah, it's this mystery of like it's weird to call it a mystery, but it kind of is, where he has to figure out. What these clues are that he left himself, kind of. And it's all to destroy this...
This wall.
And we don't know why, like, at first. We're like and then, little by little, as he's chipping away at it, he's starting to speak more, and then he starts telling this about this poem about... what bird is it?
Just a bird.
He's talking about some bird.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. When he met the Brothers Grimm, that they told him the story about...
And that's like a real like short story about a bird that chips away at a mountain, and that's when the first second of eternity is passed forever. But yeah, it's seeing Peter Capaldi act with just himself was amazing. Mm-hmm. The dude can act. Like, I think this solidifies like fuck. Like, it's weird.
It's a lot to take in. I didn't understand why he was like punching the wall. But then, yeah, as we start to hear him, because then it starts with the end montage, which is just it repeating continuously, and then you see him continue
that the same montage, by the way, which is like 5 minutes long of the same shit over and over, but just
well, the music
with some differences in the music,
the music, and you know, they don't show the same
scenes. But you feel like you're trapped in eternity with him, like, and that goes with what you were saying earlier, how this both of you were saying this episode feels very long, like it feels like. Like really long compared to any other episode, even though it's shorter than the finale.
Yeah,
I feel like it's definitely intentional about the length, because it's to give that feeling of like to kind of help us, you know, identify with the Doctor.
The Zygon episodes didn't feel that long.
Oh no,
no, no.
Well, because it's just quick, story beats. This it's like he's struggling to like understand where the hell he is or what he's trapped in, who's trapped him there. So then we get, when he finally, after this long montage, when he finally breaks through, he steps out of this, like, portal, and his confession dial drops to the ground, and you see that...
The little castle
there. You see that the whole thing was inside his confession dial, and it closes up, and then he's standing there looking around, and then it's revealed where he actually is.
Yeah.
He's on Gallifrey.
Yeah,
and I feel like really for the people, for the Gallifreyans who put him in the confession, it was their dumb luck that it happened to be, because I feel like if he hadn't just seen Clara die, he probably wouldn't have been at like, but he was constantly cloning himself from that exact moment, not cloning himself, but you know, reloading and rebooting himself from that exact moment, which means he was that determined constantly.
Yeah.
If things had gone the way it was supposed to, and they had saved, they'd just saved Riggsy and like no one died,
it would have been easier. Yeah.
They very well could have got what they wanted out of the Doctor.
Yeah.
Hey, so the rooms reset, right?
Okay, that was a big thing people in general line were asking about. So the rooms reset, yes, but anything that he himself changes and takes place outside the room.
Oh, that's why the jacket
and the shovel.
It's the movement of the, like, it's the placement of the rooms, but it's not the what's in them that reboots.
So anything that was originally in there will be reset, but things like the shovel or the plate that was.
Well, I'm asking because of the diamond wall.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The diamond wall though is separate from the whole thing because that's the barrier.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, that's not part of the mechanism. That's like just the back door into Gallifrey. So yeah, the whole thing, this whole episode, was just it was him being tortured to
reveal secrets. Which is not even what that's meant for. Like he says in even the next episode, where people go when they die to then put themselves to basically rest their souls.
It's like essentially confessing your sins before you die. So one of the big things people had, and you kind of briefly said it, was the whole the clone reboot thing.
Mm.
So. There is a quick line he says where it says there still must be a source of him. So essentially what it is just to explain to people, is that think of it like this. And he even says there's a hard drive. So basically the original form of him is in the hard drive. So say you have a computer and you have like a file.
Yeah.
Every single one of him that did that loop, that little adventure or whatever, mm-hmm. was just a copy. And the original state was still there, but... he still went through... the copy was still him. Was still linked to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's people online and other Doctor Who fans are like, is he a clone? It's like, no.
He's not.
It's because it was all in the confession dial, and this is... they're all him. They're just all him. And so, when he dies, he's not really dying.
Yeah, that's why when I said it the second time about rebooting, I chose to say that instead of cloning himself, because he's not... It's not really a clone. Because
when you think about it, it's kind of one of the... it's like... it's almost like it's all in his head.
He's just reloading a save file.
Yeah. I mean, because he's...
didn't he say, like, teleporters? Because it's like, I just use that logic.
Because he's still there. Like, he's still there.
Is that a point of contention for people? Because I don't give a shit.
Well, really. Only for a small amount of people, because this episode is very widely received. Like, it's hard to find people who actually dislike it. The only people are the ones who are, it's boring, nothing happened. Okay. It's like, did you not see this? Like, a lot happened.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot happened. It's not so much, but still, it's not a lot that happens, but there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. There's a lot to see and there's a lot to take in. A lot, nothing, very little happens, but what's on screen, what we're shown is still fucking worthwhile. Like, I mean, it's
So he's now on Gallifrey, and there's this little boy, and he tells the child, tell them I'm here, go to the city. And you're like, oh man, he's here, and say, I came the long way around. So
I like that callback to the 50th.
Yeah, so what we infer from that when we watch the episode is that when the stars were moving, essentially, he's just been looking up outside of the confession dial the whole time. And that's like, that's disturbing to think about. But he's angry. Like, he's really angry.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. I mean, all things considered, once again, the confession dial wasn't meant for torture, but they used it for torture.
Yeah.
And B, to him, even though once he's out of the dial, it's like all those years have happened and it's not quite that, just that instant anymore. But I mean, still, everything that happened is responsible for Claire's death as well to him.
And because, I mean, it's not like he aged while in there. Like, he didn't age 4 billion years or anything like that. But his mind went through all that. Like, so he knows, and it's like, it's kind of driven him, like, a little mad.
Yeah.
Well, madder than he usually is. But, I don't know, it's just...
well, we all go a little mad sometimes.
This episode, like, after watching that because I know you watched them back to back.
Yeah.
But after watching that, when it premiered, I was like, oh my god, I was like, this is, like, because I didn't know how it was going to work with just him, because I knew it was just going to only be him.
So did I,
And there's one scene with Clara.
Oh, okay, I keep forgetting that.
So is that, like, his, like, weird, like his, that's his mind, okay, right?
You know what, that's a good point to bring up. We're introduced to how the Doctor thinks.
Yeah, which is his, it's his TARDIS.
Yeah, he goes to a safe place in his head,
Like, it kind of reminded me of Sherlock a bit.
Also, what it does
is... Well, I think he even uses the term that they use in Sherlock at one point about the mind the mind room palace or whatever. Mind. Yeah.
So here's a... It's actually kind of an awesome thing that Moffat did by introducing this. It explains how the Doctor can get out of so many situations like within a second, or like change the outcome of things in a second. It's because within like 1 second, he can have like minutes to plan out stuff.
Yeah.
Because, and that's how his mind works. So it was cool that, like, because when he jumped out the window.
Well, no, that's the point I was going to make too, because when you first see the scene, it's like all those things that he's doing seem inconsequential.
Yeah.
But at the same time, then when it goes back and revisits it, like the reason he pulls the pedal and drops the pedal, the reason he throws the chair out, all those things, it wasn't just... The chair wasn't just for him to have a way to jump out. It was actually, like, it plays into him trying to get an idea of the distance to ground or water to know how, if he could survive, trying to understand the gravity of everything. So it kind of goes back, and like, if you think about it, if you apply what we've seen here to almost any other episode of Doctor Who you've seen, all these crazy things where it's just like, oh, he's being silly, it's like, it adds a depth and weight to them in the sense that, well, maybe all those other things that he does, it's all part of some plan to figure stuff out, but he's just doing it so quick that to us it just seems like, oh, he's just a silly guy.
Like, remember the, it was earlier in the series when they were showing the, him, like, it was like in black and white and they were showing all the stuff he's doing. It also, like, makes that stronger because it's like, you know, when he just did this, it's like, well, because he, like, thought about it, like, for those minutes when he was inside his mind TARDIS or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant because it found a way to justify the fact that the Doctor, at sometimes it's like he has strong plot armor or he's like overpowered at times, and you're like, ah, like, come on, that doesn't make sense. This actually justifies it. It's like, oh, because like in that split second when it's like, wait, how did the outcome of this episode change so fast? It's because he was doing it.
Yeah.
And to me,
this means the drunk giraffe has meaning. That probably is part of how he thinks too.
And see, and I love that the episode actually gave us that, because it's like...
The drunk giraffe?
Oh, no, I love that too, but that this episode gave us a type of character development that is actually fixed, like, a problem a lot of people have.
It basically, it explains Batman's prep time.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, if you apply... I mean, that's kind of what this is, like, if you compare it to something else in pop culture.
Pretty much.
It's explaining... Yeah, I mean, it explains why he is, in fact, so clever.
Yeah. I mean, and it did in a way that didn't feel, like, forced or like, ooh, this is super cool. It did in a way where it was like, okay, that makes complete sense.
It didn't feel cheap. It didn't feel like a cheat.
Yeah. And so, him being the person, then we do see Clara, and then, like, he's talking to her, but like a ghost, or not a ghost, or like a...
Well, constantly got her back to him.
Yeah.
Like, we never even see her, so it's like, throughout that whole episode, I'm like, is this just, like, a stand-in, or is it a dummy, or then, what is it? And then at the, like, towards the very end, when she finally turns and actually speaks to him, then it's like, okay, good, so it is her. Yay!
So, and then, I'm glad you brought that up, though. I forgot about that scene for some reason, those scenes.
Well, because I think, in the long run, you find out that he was never in a TARDIS, and maybe that's
why. Well, because I was confused at first when he jumped out the window. Yeah, I was like, okay, so wait, how is he in this TARDIS?
See, that's the thing. I thought, like I was thinking, like, okay, so does every time he fails or something, he goes back to the TARDIS, he has to go out and try again? And I'm thinking, like, oh, no, it's just his mind.
Yeah. Like, okay, and it's, I like that. Another thing with that episode is it's brutal in the fact that it's, like, you're seeing him, like legit die.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and he's bloodied up and, like...
Well, it's not so much that he's bloodied up. I mean, his fist definitely is from just punching into that. And, yeah.
Because the veil, the thing that's chasing him, it's...
Yeah. Straganona. I'm just calling it Straganona for some reason.
Like, it is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But seeing the Doctor like that is just... It's weird. It's seeing the Doctor that, like...
Vulnerable.
Well, I mean, and it's
not
like,
even vulnerable.
And then we learn about actual Time Lord death, a little bit more about it, that after they've been, like, legit killed, it can still take a while for them to really die, which is something we really haven't learned about at all, so that was a new thing. And this whole series has been dropping nuggets of, like, little developmental things for the lore. So I guess that's really all you have to say about that episode, which leads directly...
Into Hellbent.
Into Hellbent, which starts off kind of like the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
It's clearly a Western how it starts off, because they even, like, westernize the Ninth Doctor's theme.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear that?
I caught that, yeah.
Yeah, when they're in the, when he's in the barn. Yeah, it's like, that's a Western version of the theme. And he's
I just thought it was nice to go back to that theme, because it does remind me, well, he's been in that barn before, right?
That's his...
Yeah, his safe zone or whatever.
Well, that's kind of where he grew up.
Yeah.
Was that... Okay, that's what I was... Because the whole time I'm like, this was... Was this the barn he was in with the moment?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Okay, yeah. and now they also use the Ninth Doctor's, which is also the Tenth Doctor's theme in that scene,
and
too.
And they do, like, a pan flute version, like a Western...
Yeah, whatever. But I do feel like there's some... Any callbacks to that kind of, like, broken, like, shell-shock kind of...
That's not even how the episode starts. The episode actually starts with him in Nevada.
Okay, yeah. So
in Nevada.
The episode does begin
with... The impossible astronaut, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, which gets... they talk about that even kind of, which was nice.
So, it starts with him in...
When he starts playing the song on the guitar, I almost cried. Okay. That began me almost tearing up.
So, we see him driving, like... He's, like, riding shotgun in some truck with some dude. Gets dropped off at a diner, walks in... he says he has no money, but he plays, and so then, and then we see the waitress who's Jenna Coleman, and we're like, wait, what's happening here? I don't understand. And
she doesn't recognize
he doesn't recognize her. Well, or does he see?
Well, it's played off to where it could be. It really,
either way,
it's played off in a way where, I mean, the whole time you're watching it, you kind of think that he definitely knows who she is, and he's just kind of, this is his way that that's like, but she doesn't know who he is. And I mean,
it's
not
ambiguous.
To jump too far. Yeah, it's very ambiguous, which it played out really well. But like I said, when he starts playing the tune, which is Clara's theme, and he calls it Clara, I'm just like, oh wow.
Yeah. So when he has the Sonic sunglasses connect to his guitar, and
she's like, yeah, because don't you need to plug in? Like,
and,
oh yeah.
And then he said, and it sounds so fucking sad. Like, it sounds really sad.
It's a theme that's always been a bit somber, I mean, given the character.
There's times where it's definitely been upbeat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
when
yeah.
she's first introduced in the 50th, and...
Yeah.
I mean, not the first time the character's introduced, but when we first see her in the 50th, or even I think, the first time in Series 8, and maybe even...
or when they get reintroduced in the Christmas special. When it's been like 50 years since they've seen each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's times where it has been played in a very upbeat manner.
Is Capaldi playing on guitar? He's playing it in a fashion where it's just like, it's like sad. It's like,
He's playing it as a ballad.
Yeah. And so, then we go right to the credits, and it's like, he says, I think it's called Claire. And then they kind of make face at each other or whatever. And then it goes to the credits, and then, we're introduced to this Sergio Leone sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You see old school Gallifreyans, and they're essentially peasants. I mean, that's how the Time Lords treat them. And the Doctor doesn't speak for like 10 or 15 minutes.
I kind of wish I could get more insight in the whole Gallifreyan Time Lord.
I'm guessing next series might give us that.
Okay.
Because I mean, now that Gallifrey is back. That's always been a thing running, going back to Classic Who, is that there's this class system that's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
And, the Doctor doesn't like it, but they've never really, directly touched on it. But, we see him, he's in his barn, and he looks pissed off. He's wearing just, a frumpy coat. Say something.
I'm just letting you talk.
No, then...
Because you're going, I don't know when you want me to jump in.
Whatever you want.
Does the woman... Okay, the woman in the barn.
She's like a nanny or something.
Yeah. Okay, because I figured she had some connection to him personally.
Yeah, because that line the boys, when the boys come back, when the boys are back in town.
Yeah.
But it...
Where are the boys?
But it's... That gave us another nugget about the Doctor that, okay, so he grew up in sort of an orphanage sort of situation with a bunch of other...
Well, they showed us that earlier.
But it gives us more of that. It's like, okay, so there were other children there, and it's kind of sad. It's like, oh, this is where he came from.
I do like that idea that, because it seems like the Gallifreyans are able to, even though clearly this guy doesn't look like a little kid, or this guy doesn't look like Eccleston, it's like, it's in the eyes, it's like there's something that they can tell.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I know who you are already,
and
I think that's interesting.
And so we get this, the old lady's like, oh, it's you. It's like, okay, so this is how everything's going to start. So then We go to the capital city, and the Master General's there,
yeah.
And
Rassilon's there too,
and the president. But at first they're purposely not saying his name.
I know,
yeah.
And like I was like,
I don't know what the purpose of that was, to be honest.
I think it's just kind of making you like go like, wait, is Rassilon still here? Where's Timothy Dalton?
That is a good question. Where is Timothy Dalton?
I would have been just as happy if Timothy Dalton back and played the role.
I'm going to be honest. I think that'd be more gratifying for me to see him get basically just taken out of power.
Well, see, I think...
When it's the old guy, when it's Ned Stark's, you know, like, old man, it doesn't feel
I think what it is it's supposed to show you that since the Time War and since they've been trapped there, a lot of shit has happened and went down.
He regenerated.
So obviously. I could imagine, like...
Well, yeah, because it is years.
And he was so crazy... I imagine something happened where, yeah, he regenerated and turned into, like, a feeble old man who's, like, just...
So it matches his, like, inner kind of mindset.
Yeah.
Okay. But so, still, I think, yeah. Like, it would have been... I would have gotten some retribution for...
Also, Timothy Dalton's expensive, probably.
I don't doubt that. But, this guy was in... yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, so...
This guy was in Black Mirror.
He
was in the president...
He was in the president.
The Prime Minister episode.
Okay, so...
Or he was in another thing.
So, what happens is there's this weird, and it's kind of funny, it's like, you have Rassilon saying, like, well, let's bring him here, we need him here. And then you get this, like, but for, like, 10 minutes of, like, this back and forth, where at first they send, like, greetings, doctor. It's like we're...
They send one guy.
Yeah, the doctor doesn't give a shit. He goes back in.
They send the council.
And Rassilon keeps getting angry, saying, who does he think he is? And it's like, well, he's
the man that saved Gallifrey.
Yeah. Which pisses off Rassilon. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, Rassilon shows up. And at one point, the doctor actually draws a line in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that sets up for what happens
and
then
when... the Gallifreyans... mark out and they cheer for him. It's essentially like a big showdown setting up, and it's kind of awesome too because the people all stand by him
and he's eating the soup and stuff,
which looks amazing. Him and I share same soup
that reminded me of Angel Eyes in the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly eating his food,
yeah,
like in silence. I mean, the whole thing feels like, again, like Leon. But then when Rassilon comes out, like, again, the doctor hasn't spoken. Rassilon reaches out his hand, the doctor throws down the dial. And then he tells him, the first thing the doctor says is, get off my
planet.
Yeah, get off my planet. And it's like, oh, shit. And so then Rassilon's like, he's like, can't tell me what to do. And Rassilon tries to throw his dick around.
Yeah, as he usually does.
And then he tells all the dudes to fire at him. It's like, and he says, there's no witnesses here. And he says that matter. And like, so again, sets up the whole like, he don't give a shit about the common man. Mm-hmm.
See, I was initially concerned because the trailer for this set up the fact that it seems like everyone's trying to kill the doctor. But
yeah.
That wasn't the case.
So then they all shoot, but they miss completely.
They make a nice little
silhouette of him.
Outline of him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get them saying, like, no, you know, he said the war, like, it's like...
Yeah.
We fought beside him, all that stuff, and...
They fought with... the old man from Indiana Jones.
And then even the high general throws his gun down.
Yeah.
And then Rassilon...
Well, he that was the same one from the 50s.
Yeah. And Rassilon's about to use his glove, and he says something kind of cool. He says, how many regenerations do we give you? I have all night.
Yeah.
Which actually sounded kind of badass.
Yeah.
But then the general's like, no, stop. We don't need this. And he's like left defeated, like...
Well, then the general even said, you heard him, get off his planet.
Yeah.
Oh, and the doctor also calls for reinforcements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then we're taken to the High Tower in the Citadel.
From Police Academy.
Yes.
High Tower.
And then the High General's like, isn't this kind of cruel for you to, like, kick him off? And the rest of the High Council.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, he don't give a shit. It's like...
So I'm getting the feeling that they'll probably make a comeback next season.
Oh, they're probably gonna be pissed.
Yeah.
I mean, Gallifrey's essentially, like...
It's back.
Now free, though.
Yeah.
But now...
My only disappointment with that, though, was that, like, It's like, oh, I thought you said it was gone. It's like, well, I guess they brought it back. I'm like, okay, whatever.
They'll probably go more into that.
I know.
I mean, that also explains why the Master and Missy came back.
True, true.
Because when they unlocked themselves and, like, now they're at the end of the universe. So then, yeah, we get him as, essentially, he's president for the second time.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Classic Who, he became president and it was hilarious. But he's president for the second time and...
Is that image I've seen of Tom Baker wearing all the...
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny.
The awesome weird headdress thing. And he makes fun of their hats, which is kind of awesome. The doctor even says, like, you know, you guys got funny hats.
Yeah, they do.
So then he's making all these orders, and the Sisterhood of Karn is there, which needs to be mentioned. They survived to the end of the...
I like seeing them. There's something interesting about them that I kind of wish I could get more. But there's like a bit of snark.
She's from Hellraiser. That's the wife in Hellraiser.
Oh!
She murdered all those dudes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's how she looks now. Alright. The 80s was 45 years ago.
I don't appreciate plain zero math on this show.
So, what then happens is, you know, there's this basement of Gallifrey, which is, like, full of, like, spooky things.
Nightmares and monsters from... Who passed?
Yeah, and like these like Time Lord like Shadow Wraith things.
But it's essentially like the data bank. So,
by the way, the Shadow Wraith thing is actually it wasn't like an animatronic. That's the dude who plays the snake guy, dressed like that. He also played the Veil, from the first episode.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
That guy. He by the way, he's a professional movement master or something like that. That's one of his titles.
So is he like? Doug Jones, kind of?
He's a movement master.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
You're talking about Ross Mullen, I think is his name?
That sounds like a game show host, but yeah.
Ross Mullen!
So then the doctor makes this... He's like, I need you to take me to the extraction room or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, what's he going to do? It's like he's going to pull someone from time.
Yeah.
And then like, he's going to pull Claire from time. It's like, oh, shit, they're going to learn about the hybrid.
The second before her death.
Yeah, like, because they want to know about the hybrid. Because that's the whole reason they have him there. It's like, they need to know about the hybrid. They're scared about it. So he pulls her out, and she's freaking the fuck. She's like, what the hell's going on? And she's like, what's this sound? He's like, it's the sound like you hear all your life, but you ignore it. It's like the sound of your heartbeat. Because she's stuck between the beat of a heart. Mm-hmm. Sort of like Jack. Almost like Jack Harkness, but then so we're thinking, okay, so this is how the hybrid thing's gonna go down. Then the doctor,
he essentially he holds up the room hostage. Yeah, essentially.
Basically, everything he's done up to this point was simply to get into this point where he could bring Clara from that moment.
It feels like a Bugs Bunny moment. Like it's just like he just turns around, punches the dude in the face,
takes the gun.
Yeah, and then the guy says, like, you know, that's a lethal weapon. There's no stun setting.
Yeah.
Then he asks him how many, like, he's like, no.
Same thing. How many regenerations?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, my 10th one. But then the whole thing is that he wants to just free Claire, make sure she's not dead or whatever. He asks for a memory wipe thing just in case. But then the general dude, he straight up shoots the general guy.
Oh, yeah.
But he tells him, like, good luck with your regeneration.
Yeah.
And then they...
It did seem like a bit of a respectful... tone.
Yeah, I mean, because he asked him how.
And the thing I like about that general character is that like he hasn't been antagonistic towards him, and he probably respects the fact that
at no point is he even antagonistic.
The doctor that antagonizes him.
Yeah, because they just want to know about the hybrid. Like, hey, we want to know about something that's going to destroy society.
Yeah.
So then from there, what happens is they escape or whatever into the underground where we saw the spooky stuff.
I didn't see any skeletons there.
There's probably
they're inside the Cybermen.
That's true.
Spooky skeletons inside Cybermen.
And
wait, but hold on. The general though, he regenerates.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
that was funny.
Yeah. We get a moment that pissed off a lot of people
because not only does he regenerate, but he turns from
a dude.
Whatever.
A white dude.
What was he white though? That's the. I mean, I know he wasn't what he turns into, but was he white? But basically, it was this one moment saying, "See, the doctor can be both black and a woman because he turns into a black woman.
The doctor can change races and can change."
Well,
sex.
I mean, with Missy, I just figured that kind of set the precedent for
at least for women.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't. Yeah. Okay.
No, it pissed off people because people are racist. Because people are racist.
You know what?
Okay, so, but yeah, it moved the show forward in terms of, like, it confirmed, see, it can happen, everyone stop complaining now, it's there. So
Idris Elba number 12 or 13.
I feel like anytime
everyone wants Idris Elba.
It's like we want him as Bond.
Or they want Hayley Atwell. That's the other, and she even says she wants to play the Doctor one day. But yeah, so we get that, but then we get them now in the underground thing with all the spooky stuff. I'm just gonna call it the spooky place. Because I forgot the actual name of it.
Yeah.
The cloister.
Yeah. The cloister. It's from the cloister wars when everyone was trying to like fuck shit up. So they're in there and the doctor's trying to tell her like there's a way we can get like underneath here to the lower labs and there's TARDISes there and you know we could fix whatever's going on. We can get away. And so then what happens is they follow him down there obviously.
Yeah.
But meanwhile the doctor's he talks about there's a secret passageway and. Earlier they referred to there was this little boy who went down there and one of those Wraith things told him something about the hybrid and It scared the shit out of him. So because it scared the shit out of him, he ended up just running away and he kind of went kind of crazy.
Well, he also went crazy from, it's not said whether or not it's being down there that made him crazy or finding the secret passage that made him crazy too. It kind of says both.
Yeah.
And we get this awesome moment in which like, because he talks about what is it? Oh, then he kidnapped the president's wife.
Yeah, because she asks like, well, what did the little boy do? Like, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, first he stole the moon, then he kidnapped the president's wife.
And then she's like, so how was the president's wife? Was she? She must have been a nice lady for him to take her. And he's like, well, actually, it was his daughter. But the story, everyone embellishes the story. It was his daughter, and I thought she was And he just kind of
so now it's and he's talking about this girl fondly. It's clear that this was the doctor's wife. Like his first love, and it now it makes even more sense. And this also
so this is like pre Hartnell, well, right?
No, this is Hartnell. Hartnell's doctor. He's the first one. That's the first
region. That's
but when he was young and not
well, old. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So no, here's the crazy thing though. This also again like last episode did the whole thing where his plans how they are where he goes into his safe space or whatever. This also adds more to the lore where the fact that it's like. Now we understand why Rassilon has always been a dick to him.
Yeah.
Because he married Rassilon's daughter. And which also means that, like, Susan is Rassilon's...
granddaughter.
Was that...
Which one's
Susan? No,
great-granddaughter.
Is Susan the one that was...
His first companion.
Yeah.
Okay. The one who screamed a lot and yelled.
Hmm.
Grandfather!
Hmm.
Every episode. But, yeah, I mean, that's that one scene between them two is kind of like I love when the doctor talks about like his pat, like his
yeah. When there's just more backstory thrown in there, but it's like it's almost it's thrown in such a way where it's like you really have to kind of pay attention to kind of catch it because it's not it's said almost inconsequential
and they're breadcrumbs.
But at the same time, it gives you a window and insight into more of. Backstory between his relationships with other people as well and why he is the way he is and you know there's just all these little things that are just great insights into who the doctor really is.
Yeah, it helps build up the character without like giving us too much. Like it's not straight up like giving us like the full thing. It's just like again breadcrumbs. It's like we learn more about him but we don't like Tennant even like when he did the I had a granddaughter once day when he said stuff like that. It always just adds more to the lore.
I had a daughter once, and it's they don't.
Oh, and daughter. He's like, yeah, he said daughter, and again, you haven't heard like back in class school, you didn't hear about his daughter, but now it's like, oh shit,
that's so sad when he says.
When you think about it, he had a like the dude did have a family. Yeah. He had a wife. He had a daughter.
Well, I mean, you think about how old Hartnell, like the first doctor, looks like he had a whole life before. Stealing the TARDIS.
Yeah. Because they show you that you can age, you know, with Matt Smith and all that.
And speaking of stealing TARDISes.
Okay. So then after he tells that, then the guards come and stuff.
Yeah.
And the High General. And it's like a standoff situation where it's like, tell us about the hybrid. Tell us about the hybrid. And then Claire wants to know about, you know, how long were you in there? And that's when she asks them, and because he's trying to dodge the situation.
Yeah.
Because she looks in his eyes and she notices something like he's old, like something
happened. And he hasn't seen her in so long.
And so then they tell him 4.5 billion years, and then she's like, what the fuck? Like, what?
She basically was like, why? Why would you do it? And they even said he could have ended it at any time. All he had to do was confess, but he didn't.
Yeah.
It was his choice to be there that long.
And there's like this madness in his eyes where it's like, okay, something's clearly not right. So then. she basically distracts them.
Yeah.
And he opens the hidden thing, goes down into labs, and then they're like, "Oh, what the fuck? Why would you do this?" And then all of a sudden, an original TARDIS is around, like it materializes around her.
Well, isn't it right behind? Oh no, because she comes out. Yeah. It's not. She doesn't go into it and then poke back out. Yeah. It materializes around.
And apparently, she tells the Doctor something that we don't know. Again, Moffat always loves to do this.
Yep.
She told him something, and we won't know maybe until next series, or maybe when Moffat leaves.
Or maybe never.
Or maybe never.
We'll only learn when it doesn't matter.
It's a lost in translation thing.
Well, I mean, because to me it just felt like most of what she told him was just... Because she says, we never say how we feel, we always say... So, I mean, it was basically... The way I see it is, it was her... It was an acknowledgement of whatever feelings of love that they have towards each other, whether or not it's a platonic love or any other love. It's just kind of an acknowledgement of that without being too overtly, you know.
Yeah.
Knowing you, Aaron.
Yeah. Okay.
The inside of this TARDIS, like seeing them on that set, how did you feel?
I like that.
I did too, but yeah. It was
glorious. Okay. It was like, oh my god.
The round things.
It's like the roundels.
I just call them the round. But
I was like, oh my god, they're in it. It's like it's the original TARDIS, and
like that you could see the door outline too. Yeah. Like it looks like it looked cool, but it's like I like how they kept kind of the shittiness aspect of it.
Oh, of course,
I like that.
They can't change anything, but
no.
The Doctor is even excited about it.
Capaldi was like, because the one thing about BBC America, at least, is in the middle of the episode during one of the commercial breaks, there's like a brief behind the scenes minute, and that's what they talked about was the TARDIS.
Yeah,
was filming it, was being in that TARDIS, and Capaldi was just saying how much he loved it. It's like this was it. This is history. I mean, this is the first one.
Yeah,
and we got to film in it,
and seeing that scene was just it was great. It was great seeing the original TARDIS, but then so. From there we get
really do like the basicness of it. It's not over designed at all.
So
we get to the end of the
we get this setup thing between Clara and the Doctor where it's like he's like, okay, we did it, we're escaping. It's like check your pulse, it's like you're gonna be fine now. And she's like, I still have no pulse. And he's like, no, don't worry, it's gonna happen.
And they checked and the tattoo's still at zeros,
and all of a sudden things start getting kind of frantic and kind of nervous, like, okay, what the hell's going on? She's like, everything's going to be fine, right? He's like, yeah, it'll be fine. And so they're at, like, the last seconds of the universe, last few minutes. And then knocks happen. There's knocks on the...
It's always four.
I like the callback to that Danny Pink episode, which I'm still wondering how...
The Orson thing? Well, no, yeah. It's undone. That history can be... Time can be changed and all that stuff.
Okay.
So then she's like, what is out there? And he's like, it's me. And you're like... With the Doctor's out there, but then
again, so of course I wonder if people were like, "Oh my God, we're gonna see one of his past incarnations, or maybe a new regeneration." Yeah. But then it turns out it is me.
She's like the last person alive. She's watching stars die, and they're talking about that. The whole conversation is about the hybrid, what it is, why the Doctor ran away, all that stuff, and then she has some theories, and
he has theories.
Yeah, they touch briefly on something.
Yes, I was. But
they don't confirm it. They just touch on it because Moffat loves to poke people,
mm-hmm. and it's something that people do tend to not like.
Yeah,
and that's. But it helps solidify a certain I guess we could call it an episode.
Yeah,
it helps solidify a certain episode that some people question whether or not it's valid.
The Eighth Doctor movie. So Moffat must have had a shit-eating grin writing this scene, where she says, "You're a highborn girlfriend."
But why do you love Earth so much?
Yeah, and it's like, and she says, "Could a hybrid be a human, half girlfriend?" And he's like, "Well, that's your theory." And he doesn't confirm or deny it. So it's another one of those. God damn it, Moffat! You could have done away with this, but again, Moffat likes to.
Because they say that
I want him to. I want it eventually to be said that he actually is, just because of what'll happen.
People will erupt in anger.
I will clap. I will stand up. I'll be like Paul Mooney, how he talks about on Chappelle's Show when he watched Gone with the Wind, and she says, "Get off my porch, you white trash," and he says, "I stood up." I applauded.
So
I do feel like Moffat's tenure is essentially giving kids nightmares and trolling people on the internet.
But there's also a good deal of, but then I'm going to give you something that you're going to love,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to troll the shit out of you.
So then after a conversation with their theories of what it is, it's kind of... it's not decided, but it's like kind of just like generally agreed, like, you know what, maybe like Clara and the Doctor kind of form the hybrid together, where it's like they're fucking shit. But again, it's not confirmed.
Yeah,
it's nothing that's confirmed. So then Claire's been watching this, and the Doctor says, you know, I'm going to mind wipe her.
See, yeah, and I didn't... And I was fucking horrified, because I did not want another, like, Dr. Donna situation.
Another Jamie, yeah. Because, like, there's a history of this, of the Doctor wiping Capaldi's memories.
Okay.
Like, it's happened, and it's always kind of fucked up. It's like, man, this sucks. Like, because the Doctor's done it before, even before Donna. But, yeah. But
Donna hurt, though.
Oh, no, that was depressing.
But then... She says that she supposedly reversed it.
Reversed the polarity.
Which would then make it to where it would affect him. Of course, then he says, I don't even know if that's possible.
Yeah. We also get some of the Doctor going really fucking mad. Like, he's saying that, we get that Time Lord Victoria sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where he's saying, we're at the end of everything. It doesn't matter. It's like, what I say goes. But then there's this, like, back and forth, this emotional back and forth, and... They come to agreement, fine.
Well, he even says, before he even, they talk about whether or not he doesn't know if it can be done. He at that point, he says, you know, screw it, I'll do it because you and me, we're dangerous together. We're too alike and we care too much about each other where we're willing to basically burn the universe to save each other. And he admits, and he says what someone else has already told him. He broke all of his rules.
Yeah.
He broke every single one of his rules to save her, and that's why it's so dangerous.
And so we get a coin toss. That's essentially what we get. We get a coin toss, and they're both holding onto the device that will mind wipe, and then nothing happens at first, and it's like, well, what the hell?
And she even says, she's like, I don't know. I don't want to live. I don't want to forget you. I can't think of a life where I can't remember you.
And then he says he'll never forget her face. That's what he says.
Well, and he tells her, I don't think you're going to have to.
Yeah, and then he starts like stumbling, and then he starts like saying things. Mm. He says, "Keep running."
It was sad.
Talks about pears.
It was sad.
It was very sad. Like throwback to Tennant. But it was a very good sad. Oh yeah. Like, it was a different type of sad than when we lost Clara. Yeah. It was almost cathartic because he actually kind of tells her what she told him when she died.
Yeah,
he tells her all those things. But I love the whole don't eat pears. The way they're too squishy.
Yeah,
like that whole thing. I'm like, that's just silly. But,
and she's crying and
he's crying.
And then he passes out. He completely passes out. And then he wakes up in the desert.
To where basically
we're back in Nevada and this like tourist guy is like, what you doing, buddy? So then what happens is the dude gives him a lift and obviously takes him to the... Well, I don't think it's the guy who actually takes him to the diner. I think it's eventually he gets there. Because, like, it seems like he's been through some stuff.
Yeah. I can't take you that far. We're going to Las Vegas.
So he goes to the diner. We get a couple things when he gets there. We get one. He's like, we've been...
Oh, and by the way, throughout the episode...
They've been cutting back to him telling more of the story, basically. Yeah. He's been telling the story...
To the waitress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then, we do get him finally in that we... And she's like, well, then what about your TARDIS? What about all this?
He's like... But he says, I was with her... I was here with her once.
And then we
and he's like, nope, that was Rory and
Amy. And Amy. And what's your Amy's name? Because Rory's better.
I always like callbacks to...
But then he also mentions how it moved. And that's when I was like, oh, shit.
But then we also get this really sad thing where he says, he's like, I can't remember her face, her smile. And it's like, no, why are you saying sad things? And then,
but a part of me is wondering, like, oh, is he saying that so she doesn't feel too bad about it? But
she also says the thing about a story. Well, at the beginning, he says about a story, a memory is, a story is like a memory.
That's just been forgotten.
Yeah, and then she's like, at the end, she's like, well, maybe it's also a song. And that turns out to be why he's been playing Clara.
And then he's playing it
thing,
again.
The thing that makes me the most sad, though, is like, I'm sure I'd remember her if I see her.
Stop it. Stop beating us. Like, and then while he's playing the guitar, she opens the back door and it's like,
I never wanted to yell. I didn't do it, but I really just wanted to yell, turn around. Fucking turn around.
Yeah, and she walks into the TARDIS and there's me is in there. Yeah.
Or Shilda.
Yeah, or Shilda.
I don't like saying me because it sounds like I'm talking about myself and I'm not.
Well, I mean, even on IMDb for this episode, she's still credited as a Shilda.
Okay. So then they're talking and they're essentially saying like, well,
We gotta go back to
yeah. But then she's like, well, you know, I can fuck around, go the long way around, all that. And so that leaves Clara as basically Jack Harkness.
In a form of Jack Harkness. Yeah.
But
with her own flying American diner.
With another immortal.
Yeah.
So the TARDIS disappears around him. And he's like, what the fuck? And then his TARDIS appears with the
fake. The mural on
and
it.
Yeah. I'm guessing at that moment he realized, like, oh, shit, that was probably her or something like that. And so then he goes inside his TARDIS. And it's like, okay, here we go. He's walking around. There's a message left for him by Clara. Run, you clever boy, and be the doctor.
Yeah.
Puts on his awesome velvet.
I love that coat.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. He fixes his cuffs like he always does. And then it pops up.
Right? The new screwdriver.
The new screwdriver.
It looks awesome.
Flies in the air. He catches it. And it's like,
all right.
We got this. And he flies away.
And then when he's flying, well, A, all the mural paint goes off. Yeah. But we see the TARDIS go in one direction, and then in another direction, just spinning around is the diner flying through space.
It looks so goddamn goofy, but it's like, you know what?
I forgive it completely because it's meant to be.
I love it.
It's silly. That's
an American diner flying makes you chuckle, but a police box is like, oh, okay.
Okay, so thoughts on the episode,
a good time. Honestly, like, I can't shit on any of these. They're just too.
It's
good.
Probably my favorite finale of the series. I mean,
it's weird because a lot of people said it was confusing. Like, I'm gonna be honest, it was one of the most. It wasn't.
I didn't find it confusing.
I don't want to call it simple because But it was a very.
It could have been okay. Here's the thing, it could have been disastrous.
Oh yeah,
but the execution was so good. We've also gotten a lot of setup that Gallifrey's back. Now they're pissed off at the Doctor because he ran away again. So now we're gonna have Time Lords who are pissed off at the Doctor, which is always awesome. Also, that the Missy set all this shit up.
Missy created the hybrid because she loves chaos.
Yeah. So we got that. And then we got.
And we still got Missy with the Daleks too. Yeah, that was set up at the end of the premiere.
And it's like, not only is it a great finale, but it set up so much. The series in general set up a lot of shit.
It wasn't anywhere like, oh, I went back in time like 50 billion years to do this, and I sent you.
It
wasn't convoluted.
It wasn't timey wimey. Yeah. It was very like straightforward. Series 9, I think. It's a high point. Like, again, only one episode where it's kind of questionable and kind of like,
This is the best New Who series I've seen.
And if it continues on this track, it's amazing. I mean, also what helps is that a lot of them were two-parters, so it cut down on the chance of there being, like, another Forest of the Night or anything like that. The thoughts!
Damn it. The thing about this season, though, is that it's just a good show.
No, it is. It's definitely a high point, and we'll see how next series handles that.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean...
I do hope it's that companion you showed us pictures of, though, that they picked.
Yeah, I mean, eventually we will find out who it is, but until then we have the Christmas special coming up.
Yes.
We'll probably cover
series
that.
Series 9.
When that happens.
If we're going to do this on the William Sadler scale, what do you give it?
How many Grim Reapers?
4.5 out of 5.
So the series as a whole, okay, the two-parter as a whole.
Oh.
The two-parter, and okay, so the series.
Oh, that's just a flat 5.
And honestly. But the series, you give like a 4.5.
Yeah, because of that
four
one
and
episode.
I give the two-parter 5 Sadlers, and I'll give the series 5.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. Yeah. Which, if you add those up, 5 plus 5 equals me giving it a 10.
Yeah.
All right.
I would say, yeah, 5's all around. I'm really scared how the next series is going to be. I mean, not scared, but like...
Can they
keep it like this?
I think so. I think you're just worried that it's going to get...
I don't think it's going to be bad. I just think, like, how can you match this quality?
I don't know. We'll see.
But anyways, it was great. We're going to have the holiday
special.
The
whole series will be one 12-parter.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it'll be like the War Games, which is a Patrick Troughton thing.
Deep Space Nine's finale.
But can it match it? We'll see. Until then, we're going to have the Christmas special, which we'll do a special episode on.
Yeah.
And then after that, we have to wait a year. All right. So we will see you guys, or you'll hear us again on Monday. And tune in for the Christmas special, which should happen at the end of the month. And until then...
So wait, does that mean the internet would actually? And I'm not saying this.
Haley Atwell seems
the internet would they start referring to then as Dr. Titty Monster?
I know it's going in the credits.